watch night service on the last day of the year. And he had a wonderful, wonderful outline. He had people from all over the association had come. And he started at 6 o'clock, and we had preaching, and we had singing, and we had a meal. And I was to be the last speaker of the night. And so I was supposed to take over at 11 o'clock, and we were supposed to sing, and then I was supposed to sing a special, and I was going to sing that, and then I was supposed to preach in the new year. Well, just before I got up at 10 o'clock, a man got up, and he was a preacher, and he had not been able to preach in a long time. And I say that he was a preacher, but he wasn't a really good preacher, which you may say about me too, but he wasn't a really good preacher. And what he had was about a 10-minute sermon. But he hadn't preached in so long that he preached his 10-minute sermon, and he just couldn't stand to sit down after 10 minutes, and so he preached it again. And he got through with that sermon, and he decided that there still wasn't enough, and he was embellishing as he went along, so it was getting longer each time. And so he preached it again. And so we continued that until 11:45. And he finally said he wasn't through, but he guessed he better sit down. Well, then it was my turn. I was supposed to have an hour, and I had 7 minutes left by the time he finally got down. I looked out at that preacher beat audience, and I knew they were going to stone me if I started a sermon. And so I said, let's pray in the new year and let's go home. And it was almost a standing ovation. I'm hoping that today you don't feel about me like we felt about him. I have gone through this week, and since I learned I was going to speak, and I studied, I prayed. I mean, I'm waking up at 2 in the morning for an hour and a half or two, thinking about this sermon, going through the stuff, and I just can't get it nailed down. In my mind, I've preached through this sermon 40 times, and you know what? I'm still not sure exactly what I'm going to say, which should really frighten you. But let's start. I got to do this. I got to defend Harry, because what he was saying was that 5-year-olds know more than we do, and I know because I teach little bitty children who have special needs, and I was in a robotics class, and it's a special that they have. And I was sitting there, and I've got this little second grader who's very challenged. And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to link this robot with this iPad. You know, I'm not even sure what linking a robot with an iPad is. But I'm trying to figure it out because I want this kid to be able to play with the iPad and the robot. And so I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. Finally, this second grader snatches it out of my hand, hits this button, hits that button, hits this button, hits that button, and the robot turns on, and he, then the rest of the period, he's running his robot around the room like everybody else. They just know more than we do about what this stuff does. And that's what he was saying. So Harry, I didn't hang you out to dry there, brother. That's what he was saying. If you want to turn with me to a passage of Scripture, and it's in Mark, the first chapter, the 14th verse. Mark, the first chapter, the 14th verse, and for those of you who might not know, that's in the Bible. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." All right. One of the things that I've heard that this new fancy interim is going to do is deal with a mission statement. And so, you know, I first started, I wanted to get a joke about a mission statement. Because, you know, Bob started off with a joke, and I thought, well, you know, I need to carry that on. You know, there's nothing funny about mission statements. I looked at the internet for 2 hours, and what they called a joke was just sad. A mission statement is a sentence, one sentence, no longer than one sentence, that says what an organization is all about. That sound right? A mission statement is one sentence that says what an organization is all about. And so I began to pray about it, and I said, you know, what was Jesus's mission statement? I know what I had kind of got in my head what it was here. I hadn't seen the written one, but the thing that I heard over and over and over and over again was, God is always at work, and all we need to do is find out what he's doing. And to me, that's a solid mission statement. So what was Jesus' mission statement? And this passage is, I think, his mission statement. And it is really in verse 15. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." That's one sentence. That's one sentence. But you know, there's something that God showed me more than that. The first part of that sentence is, after John was arrested. And this statement came to me over and over and over from, I believe, the throne room of God. And it was that two words, Jesus came. Jesus came. That's the whole thing, guys. That's the mission statement. Jesus is our mission statement. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is the one that did it. He's the one that thought it. He's the one that made it. Jesus came. It wasn't a last-minute thought, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus came. I'm gonna do something that's a little dangerous, and I'm going to pretend that we're sitting and hearing the thoughts of God. And don't get mad at me. And if you do, don't tell me, because I don't care. God is up there, wherever there is, in heaven. Now, God is one, right? You agree with that? God is one. And yet God is all wrapped up in three persons, so God says, you know, Jesus, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a group of beings that we create and we put down there and we give them a choice. They can serve us or not serve us. We're not going to make them robots that we link up with. We're going to give them a choice. We're going to start them out in a positive way, but we're going to give them a choice. We're going to allow them to make decisions on their own. We're going to allow them to have free will. What a dangerous thing, says Jesus.
the less. Immortal beings have a free will. And God says, yeah, I think you're right. So we better come up with a plan.
When they blow it, we got to have a plan. Colossians says Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world. Hello. In God's eternal plan, he knew before he created us that we were going to blow it. And he put Adam and Eve in a perfect garden, but he gave them one choice. You know, it looks like to me they could have handled one choice. But they blew it. And Jesus said, well, when they blow it, I will go and I will take on human form and I will die and pay for the price of their mistake. And so when it says that Jesus came, it was not a, you know, one day God wakes up and says, I think I'll send somebody down to fix this. From the very beginning, Jesus knew that by doing this creation, he was going to have to die on a cross. He was going to have to become a man. What? Ignominy. To be transferred to from God to a human being. I mean, there is no way to do it, but it's like being transferred from the smartest man in the world to a flea. And nobody likes fleas. And so he's from this very beginning. And so we see him after Adam and Eve blow it, God says, hey, don't get too upset. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to send a man to stomp Satan's head and pay the price. And then when Abraham comes along, God says, hey, I need you to get started on this program. You know, when I get started on a project, I want to get it done in 30 minutes. Abraham was, what, 4,000 years before Jesus? God, you know, he started 4,000 years or more before Jesus getting ready for Calvary and Golgotha. And, and he set aside people, and he had people born. And everyone, this one led to that one, and this one led to that one, and this one led to that one, until we get to the time of the Romans. And they're in the world. And they're in that little area of Galilee. All of this heritage comes down to a young lady. Planned from the beginning. And she's ready. Get the impact. He can't. He is light in the world. He is not, you know, I sat in a cruise one time and we were watching the guy on the floor, and right beside me was this huge spider. Did I lose it? Yeah, I love that. Okay. Let's try again. Well, I got it. All right, now, and so the spotlight is on the guy who's down on the stage, and he's perfectly visible. But that's not what Jesus was. Jesus wasn't one who had the spotlight on him. Jesus was the light. He was the light. He came into C.S. Lewis said, he came into a dark planet that was totally sold out to Satan.
and he came, and he was the light. And those that received him received the light. And those who did not receive him because they weren't of the light. He was the light. He was the light. And here he is walking on this earth. And you know, he knows that when he starts doing what he's got to do, it's not going to go well with him. Because they keep trying to get him to go be tough. And he keeps saying, my time is not yet come. My time is not yet come. I've got to do something. And what he did in this passage of Scripture is it says that he proclaimed the gospel. You know what proclaim means is that he preached it. They actually changed the word in the newer translations from preach to proclaim because there's so much boring preaching that they didn't want that word to carry the connotation that Jesus was walking around boring the world. And so they proclaimed it, and it's like the proclamation. It's not a good word because it's like a proclamation of a herald talking about something that's coming. But Jesus had already come. And so it was preaching. The greatest preacher in the world is Jesus. Wouldn't you have liked to have heard one of his revival sermons? You know? There was a man who worked with Oral Robertson. He was an athlete, and he ran every day. He ran 5 miles every day. And one day he said as he was running along, he had a heart attack. And he said, but weirdly enough, he said, I saw my body drop, but I just kept running. And he said, as I ran right up into heaven. And so this is, it's an after-death experience, okay? And he ran right up into heaven. And he said, there was a great crowd. And Jesus was up on the podium, and he was preaching the greatest sermon I ever heard. And said, then he stopped as I entered the back of the ground. And he winked at me and he said, hi. Jesus came. And he came preaching. And we are sitting here and we are in transition. And transitions are hard. But let me tell you something. Jesus has a message for us. I am here. I came. You are not alone. You know, I've heard so much, and I made this statement in class one day, in our Sunday school class. Shame you don't get to hear me all the time. But I made the statement that this is not something that we should be wringing our hands about and crying into our tear bottles, but it is something that we ought to be excited about because God knew from the foundation of the world that on this day and in this time, our pastor would retire and he has it all planned out. And there is no surprises. The only thing we can do is mess it up by worrying. God knows Shady Shore. God knows what we need. God already has our pastor picked out. He already knows it. We don't have to lay up nights wondering if we're going to have a pastor. Because we have a pastor that's going to meet our needs right here and right now. And I'm going to tell you something. If we get the one God wants for us, he will do what Jesus did and he will proclaim the gospel. And that means that he will go every week before the throne of God and he'll get a word of God from the Lord and he'll come deliver it to our people and we will be blessed and we will be built up and we'll be better than we ever have been before. We do not want somebody who does soliloquies. We do not want somebody that does lectures. We want somebody that will go before the throne of God, get a word from God, and say, here, people, is what Jesus, who is here, is saying to us today. If the pulpit isn't powerful, the church will not succeed. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. He said he came proclaiming the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the good news that the kingdom of God is now here. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're part of the light brigade. We're part of the program. We're not waiting. We are in the process of continuing the kingdom of God. And Jesus is here. If we'll just listen to him, and he'll take us on from stage one to stage two to stage three, he is not surprised about what has happened at Shady Shores Baptist Church. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Then the good news is, let's get excited about what God's doing for us and quit wringing our hands and let's relax and quit getting in a hurry that we got to get something done. We got more preachers here than God got on in the earth almost. We can take care of this until he gets us where we need to be. Amen? And when he gets us where he needs to be, it'll take us to the next step, and that's to get the pastor that he has foreordained from the foundation of the earth. That will take us to become the place that he wants us to be. He came proclaiming the good news. It is exciting, it is positive, and it is something that should get us out of bed in the morning excited about what God's going to do. Because he is here. He is here. And he said he came proclaiming the gospel, the good news. This is not bad news, it is good news. And the news was that the kingdom of God had arrived. And you know what's important about the kingdom of God? That the king is the one in charge. It's not the leadership committee. It's not that group. It's not any committees that we have. It's not any group. It's not one person who's trying to run the whole show. It's Jesus. There is one person who's trying to run their own show, and it's Jesus. And we need to stop and say, Lord, and here's what he said. He said, repent. And you know what we got to repent from? We got to repent from trying to run Jesus' church. Because he don't need us to run his church. Not good English, but good theology. He doesn't need us to run his church. He can do it just fine all by himself. And what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to, and let me say this. Paul said the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of Christ released into the world. What he needs us to do is get out of the way and quit trying to run it and say, Lord, here I am. Take my hands. Take my heart. Let me be what you want me. Let me reflect the light that is in you and reflect it to the needy people in here, to reflect it to the needy people out there, and let God have the victory that he has already ordained for this mighty body of Christ. Get excited. Get excited. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here today. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here today. And I'm going to surprise you because I've delivered God's message that he had for this church. We are not going for 2 hours. Are you going to take over for me on me what you did for Bob? Yeah, that's okay. Jesus is happy with that. Jesus wants us to be successful. His plans are better and more important and will make us happier than anything we can do as people. You see, Shady Shores is not perfect. Shady Shores is not perfect. If you're looking for this group of people to meet all your needs, you're going to be sadly disappointed. The world is not perfect. If you're looking for the world to meet all your needs, you're going to be sadly disappointed. The only person that can meet all our needs is Jesus Christ. And he is here. And he wants to fill us with his Spirit and let us reach out and not control other people, not be in charge, but to be servants to one another. And that's the question that I think Jesus has for us today. Are you willing to let him shine through you, or do you want to be in control? It's as simple as that. My invitation is, and you don't have to come up to the front to do it, but are you willing to just look at Jesus today and say, I know you're here, and I'm willing to be your instrument to let Shady Shores be everything that you planned it to be. And if we do that, we'll meet more needs, we'll see more changes, and it will be an exciting time instead of a horrible time. Change is not necessarily bad. It is oftentimes positive and good. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, as we reach this time of invitation, what we're really saying right now is that you are the greatest preacher in the world and in the universe. And we want you to preach to us what exactly we need to do. Not what our brother needs to do or our sister needs to do, but what we need to do. And today, Father, I would pray that you would give us open hearts and open minds, that we would reveal your power and allow you to show your peace and your patience and your kindness and all of the things that you bring with you because you're here through us as we submit and surrender to you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Brother Harry, what are we singing?